In hard times, you're not here to prove how good you are or to fix it all yourself. You're here to let God show how good He is. Faith is more than a privilege, you see. It's a responsibility and an expectation that will glorify God. Your mind is too valuable to allow it to be abused by fear and troubles.
Thanks for joining us on Life Journeys, a podcast about thriving through the worst pain that life brings. With global initiatives threatening big changes to our way of life, we're going to need to activate Jesus' words about mountain-moving faith. Words That Work is the ongoing series on Life Journeys that is rooted in releasing revelational words of faith that will work every time and with everyone. It's about moving the mountains that keep us from the presence and goodness of God. It's about defining our life purpose and identity through encountering Him. Until we have the power to move the obstacles that are destroying our liberty and hope.
Faith is more than mind over matter. It's more than memorizing Bible verses and the cute turn of a phrase. Faith is also more than having a positive, peaceful mental attitude. Everything is going to work out, may be true, but it may also have nothing to do with faith. Unless faith involves the active intervention of God, and unless it establishes our lives on a foundation of a real, almighty God actively taking care of our lives, it's not faith. Believing in God involves a supernatural element and a relationship with the Creator and Savior of mankind. Now, there seems to be a growing element of society worldwide that thinks science ought to validate God's existence and faith itself. But listen, if science was the answer to the debate about the existence and nature of a supernatural God, then God could be no greater than the wisdom and ability of men. I'm talking here about a faith that bridges the gap between man's capabilities and God's infinite divine power. Unless our faith goes beyond our ability to figure it out and work it out, it's nothing more than a mere positive mental attitude that doesn't need God at all. When I'm in an impossible place, I don't want some professor, doctor, or scientist telling me how to navigate problems that are not solvable. Now, I've spent much time answering the call of God to tell people how to find power over life's impossible threats by living in the presence of God. We can believe all we want for God to heal us of the cause of our ultimate departure from this world if we want to, but it's not going to happen. Our body is going to die someday. However, today, I want to focus on the faith that God will physically, financially, or even legally intervene in our lives to protect us from the enemies of our souls and families. As much as I want faith's primary goal to be to live in the presence of God and become more like Christ and glorify Him on the earth, there is the place to believe for our immediate needs. Many a time God has led me to financial victory, but I had to open my eyes and see where I was standing to understand it and receive it. For example, when I went back to college with my wife and first child, I found a job at an engineering firm without looking for it. I didn't know how God was going to provide, but I knew He would. One day, visiting someone in a hospital, I met a man who was an old friend and president of an engineering firm who offered me a job on the spot. Years later, when I was broke and homeless and starting to feel the desperation press in, I suddenly felt I was standing on the very spot where I would live and work. And it was true. I didn't need to search. God found me. How does that happen? When we put ourselves in the impossible places that faith has led us to, God will step in with a miracle at the right time. Did you hear that? Sometimes faith will lead us into an impossible place. One day I sensed God telling me, "My mercy never fails you. And since you've been held in my hands all the days of your life, your today and tomorrow's will be no different. My goodness is running after you today. I'm not resisting you. With every dark night you've been through, I've been closer to you than any other. I'm your Father, I am your friend. You will always live in my goodness. That's faith given by the author of faith himself. But understand something, you're not here to prove how good you are. You're here to demonstrate how good God is. Your faith is not activated when you feel victorious, powerful over failure, and able to control your life with a positive mental attitude. That's just faith in self. Faith in the reality of God is from a developed relationship with Him. The weapon of faith is about the effectiveness of God to raise you up when your body has slain you yet again. This is about faith in God. Frustration is overcome as your expectations shift from your ability to walk out this life to God's ability to carry you along. Now listen, heaven is fully aware of what you're going through right now and is planning for your reward in this trial. Right along with the very present need, understand that God is establishing the eternal needs that only faith can supply. That time between believing and receiving is the time where what Paul said can help. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The trial isn't just about the trial. It's a teaching moment that heaven fully intends to back you up in. But again, remember, heaven is fully aware and planning for your reward in this trial. This is not about karma or whatever happens, happens. There's a purpose. Last night, I awoke in the middle of the night struggling with two very serious issues. It was here that God spoke to me. Your mind is too valuable to allow it to be abused by fear and trouble. The mind is a great gift that must be guarded, nurtured, and shielded from allowing anything destructive to come in and take over. Peace is a place where we're at rest, body, soul, and spirit. Now remember, the Bible says in Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Jesus would bring the disciples out into a storm, twice, to establish his mastery over all that may assail us. Where's your faith, he said. Being more than a privilege, faith is a responsibility and a commandment to do and to be what we are in the world to do and to be. The heart of God being the master of my life, from Matthew 6, is that he will take care of all that I need. Jesus made it clear that to worry is to live like there is no God. Jesus said, take no thought for what you need. It's a phrase of protection whereby we use our faith to establish who it is we will worship, who it is we will be controlled or mastered by. You see, Jesus wants to be our master because we know that we don't have to be controlled by the problems in this life. Many years ago, a man called Saint Siloam the Athenite made this observation. Some suffer much from poverty and sickness, but are not humbled, and so they suffer without profit. But one who is humbled will be happy in all circumstances, because the Lord is his riches and joy, and all people will wonder at the beauty of his soul. Sometimes we do well to recognize that the supernatural painting of the Lord needs a suffering, frail human canvas upon which to portray his marvelous hand. Have you ever said, this miracle that I'm believing for sure is taking a long time? Of course you have. And it's in this gap of time that at least two things must be dealt with. The first is renewing the mind that feeds your heart. For with the heart, a man believes, Paul said. Last night, I recalled one scripture that has often helped my faith in times of trouble. Psalms 34:6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. In the morning, I shared that with my wife, and she said, "That's the same scripture verse I was focusing on this morning." Wow, God's at work. When you get confirmations like that, you know you're not just dealing with mental assent to the truth, but you're walking in the fresh revelation as God Himself makes His Word real. Focus on His Word. Secondly, in that gap between believing and receiving, you'll deal with a certain amount of condemnation and turmoil over the past. The devil loves to use your past against you. I love when God sees that coming and prepares us ahead of time. 3 or 4 mornings ago, I woke with just a flood of God's voice filling my thoughts, and I knew it was Him. So I wrote these words. It seems overall that He's saying that He now defines my past. I'm not a product of what I have done, but of what He has done. That's His determination. That is how He sees me, judges me, and relates to me. The Word says, "Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I am He that blots out your transgressions for my name's sake, and I will not remember your sins. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." In Revelation 1, He identifies Himself as the God who was, who is, and who is to come. He rules the past, the present, and the future. He determines how our past will affect our present and future. He has the ability to forget the sins of those who put their trust in Him. They are those made righteous in His eyes. Christ, then, is our righteousness, and thus there is no more offering needed for sins because there has been a remission of them. So, are we therefore products of our past? The Bible says, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature." His flesh doesn't define his identity, you see. Remember, faith is the eyesight of God. He sees what faith sees, and faith sees what He does. God is the ruler of the past. History doesn't rule it. Let me say it again. History doesn't govern you or your faith memory. If you choose to live by the condemnation of your past, you're standing against the truth. You're like the one who feels the warmth of the sun, sees the world around you by its light, and yet you deny the sun exists. God rules all that has been. He makes all things new. He doesn't paint over a dirty house. He makes a brand new one. You are not who you were. You don't get to make the rules of how the world in creation are governed. What goes up must come down, right? Well, in the kingdom of God, what comes down must go up through faith. Gravity brings things down, but faith raises things up. If I struggle with condemnation, it's like saying that the power of my fallen earthly past life is more powerful than the life of the Son of God, the Almighty One who rose from the dead for you and I. So rest in this. God will take care of you because of who He is.
You can unlock the presence of God in your life. There are revelation principles that remove the mountains, keeping us from joy, hope, peace, and purpose when our world gets turned upside down. Look for these words that work with Pastor Hartika as he shares what has helped him when life got hard. And don't forget to check out his book, The Fortress and the Firebrand, available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Thanks for listening to Life Journeys. Find new episodes every Wednesday and Saturday. And if you're new to this series, it begins with the September 16th episode.
In hard times, you're not here to prove how good you are or to fix it all yourself. You're here to let God show how good He is. Faith is more than a privilege, you see. It's a responsibility and an expectation that will glorify God. Your mind is too valuable to allow it to be abused by fear and troubles.